Japan's Sony, it almost rhymes with money.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. A surprise today from Sony, the embattled Japanese electronics and entertainment conglomerate. Sony actually made some money in the form of a $370 million operating profit, the first profit in 3 years. The BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes is in Tokyo. Morning, Rupert.
Morning, David.
So an upside surprise for profits from Sony. What are they, selling digital cameras maybe?
No, definitely not. Digital cameras are something that they're doing very badly at. But if you look at the figures, the really good news is that their smartphone division is doing better than it has been for a very long time. Their Xperia smartphones, I don't know if they're available in the States. They're certainly selling very well here in Japan and much better in Europe than they were. Finally, Sony has come up with a handset that can compete with the likes of the Samsung Galaxy and the Apple iPhone. So that's good news. The rest of its electronics division is not doing so well. But a big part of this is because, like all Japanese companies, they're getting a big advantage out of the fact that the yen has fallen so far, so fast.
We always need a bit of a quick economics lesson at this juncture. A weaker Japanese yen means a Sony TV sold in Europe or the U.S. translates into more yen when it's sent back to Japan than it normally would.
Yeah, and this works for Sony whether they're making the goods in Japan and exporting them to the US or Europe, or whether they're making in the US and then repatriating the profits back to Japan. And all of their earnings predictions were based on a value of 80 yen to the dollar, but actually the yen is now trading at about 100 yen to the dollar. So, you know, that's a significant difference, and it means that, as you say, everything they sell outside Japan is making them a lot more money.
Rupert Wingfield Hayes, BBC in Tokyo, thank you.
Thank you.
Sony remains under pressure from a crusading American shareholder who owns enough of Sony to be taken seriously. Daniel Loeb is pushing for Sony to spin off its movies, TV, and music businesses. Royal Dutch Shell's having a bad day at the office today. It reported quarterly profits that were disappointing, down from a year ago. The company blamed rising costs for oil and gas exploration and instability in Nigeria, where corruption and thefts of oil have hurt its bottom line. Shell stock is down 5% in London right now. Competitor ExxonMobil profit. Those profits come out in just a bit. Now let's do more numbers. Japan's Nikkei went up 2.5%. When that moves, it moves sharply these days. The FT 100 in London is up 0.3%. Stock index futures for the U.S. are up sharply at the moment. Regular Marketplace contributor Alan Sloan heard something familiar the other day during President Obama's economic whistle-stop tour. It was a hint the president wants to help homeowners still struggling with expensive mortgages to get easy refinancing. This is something the markets could do with some encouragement without taxpayer money, and sounded to Sloan ripped off from a Mitt Romney playbook. Morning, Mr. Sloan.
Good morning, David.
So the president has this idea. It's another one of these ideas for almost a mass refinance. It sounds a little familiar to you?
Well, 2 years ago, I came on the plan that the president has apparently embraced, which, as luck would have it, was proposed by a very high-level Republican guy named Glenn Hubbard. And when I was trying to write about it 2 years ago, the administration had absolutely no use for it, and suddenly this plan is mentioned in the president's speech.
What would it do, and why did you like it?
Well, I liked it because it would allow people who were honorable and had paid their mortgages but couldn't refinance because their house prices had fallen and they had no equity, they could do an automatic refinance, benefit from the lower rates, and that was payment for being honorable, and it posed no risk and no cost to taxpayers.
But it's not like there were no mass refinance programs over the years.
Right. And something called HARP II, you know, seems to have worked very well. But I think this plan would have been better, and it would have been better for homeowners than HARP, and probably less good for big banks than HARP. But hey, that's how life is.
So too bad it took a couple years for the idea to fully gestate and percolate upward.
Well, I mean, it was too bad that we didn't do this 2 years ago because the number of people who could have been helped was much larger. But, you know, as we say, any port in a storm.
Alan Sloan, Senior Editor-at-Large, Fortune Magazine, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
Social media may be putting some upward pressure on the gratuity, as people who feel their tips felt light to them have gone online to complain. A New York City food truck worker lost his job recently after he took to Twitter to shame folks who ordered $170 worth of food and left no tip at all. Gigi Duban has more on the state of tipping in the summer of 2013.
Want to know why fast casual restaurants like Firehouse Subs and Smashburger are doing so well? Here's one theory.
Customers don't have to tip, and they save a couple bucks per person that way.
Brett Thorne is senior food editor at Nation's Restaurant News. But those tip jars with the stories about gas money and tuition help, they work.
I think actually we're seeing more tipping at limited service locations.
Like coffee shops and food trucks. Service industry workers are relying more on tips to pay the bills. Marshall Cohen is chief retail analyst with NPD Group.
Kind of like something that they have to become more aggressive about in asking for tips.
Cohen says there are other creative ways to get diners to leave an extra couple bucks, like singing a song or a celebratory ringing of the tip bell. And diners who pay with credit cards might spend more on food.
But they're not necessarily as free with the tip.
He says plenty of smart alecks will still write in things like, smile more. I'm Gigi Duban from Marketplace.
And if you're online later, check out the brand new Marketplace.org homepage, which this morning features the best drama of the summer, the fight who gets the big chair at the Fed. It'll have you at the edge of your seat. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.